You see that?
What?
He just threw a sinker ball. It drops about 2 feet before the plate.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hit it. I can do that.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad taught me how.
My dad taught me how to hit. Knock it out of the park. I'm pretty consistent. My dad played ball in college, and he's real good, so he taught me. You know.
Really?
Yeah.
My dad played ball in college, too, you know, but he decided not to go pro because he was so smart, you know? He passed those smart genes on to me. That's why I'm so smart. So, you know, thanks, Dad.
See this? His handsome face?
Mm-hmm.
I got my dad's good looks. So I'm stoked. I mean, being smart's great. You know, you can always have the answers, but, you know, you don't always have to have the answers when they get a load of this.
So. My dad taught me not to brag.
I'm not bragging. I'm just talking about my dad. I happen to be proud of him.
Are you saying I'm not proud of my dad?
I don't know what you are.
My dad took me on a hot air balloon ride.
My dad won a Newbery Medal for writing an outstanding children's book.
My dad swam the English Channel.
Well, my dad knows Michael W. Smith.
Okay, my dad invented the Post-it note.
He did not.
He did too. Okay, fine, he didn't, but he could have.
Yeah, you make up stories. Don't talk about my dad.
Hey, you boys, cut it out.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.
Don't make me get the paddle.
That's a handsome man.
Yeah, he's smart too. Like me.
Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers today. Amen. Today, as I've been in prayer for some time about the Father's Day message and where God was heading us in Father's Day, many times in my life, I shared last week that many times in my life I feel God leading me in a certain direction and what series we're preaching and message we're preaching and where we're going as a church. And it's sometimes, though, that I feel God speaking directly to me. You know, it's in those moments when you have nothing, all of a sudden God just opens up heaven and says, this is what I want you to know, and just floods it all to me. And I can't write fast enough because he's giving it to you. This is one of those times when God gave me direction, I believe, for the men of our church. Even though today is Father's Day, I'm not speaking just to fathers. I'm speaking to all men in our church today. And I just want to tell you up front, this may not be easy to hear at times. This may not be easy to hear. I may say some things that may ruffle your feathers, but you're a man, you'll get over it, okay? Today, as we look at that video, we see where, in the video, how it's so easy to be competitive. Isn't this a man's nature to be competitive? We all like to be competitive. We all want a challenge. And today, I'm going to talk to you about this thought. Will you accept the challenge? Will you accept the challenge? And I don't care who you are today. If you're a man, you like a challenge. Is that not true? Oh, and I can tell you this, even it's been a long time since I've been in shape to play, you know, some play ball the way I used to when I was younger. But if I walk by and there's a football sitting there in the yard, there's something about me, I just cannot let it sit there. I've got to pick it up, and I've got to send my kids deep, and I've got to throw the ball. And if no kid's in the yard, I'm throwing at a target in the backyard. I just can't help but pick that challenge up. I can't walk by and not see a basketball laying there and not pick it up. And if there's not a hoop around, I'm shooting it in the garbage can. I just cannot stop. I mean, I don't care if it's a Nerf hoop. We just can't help it that when we see things as men that challenge us, we gravitate toward that, that we like a challenge. And some of you today are saying, well, Pastor, I never was the athletic type. That's just not me. I'm not necessarily that way. Oh, yeah, you're the kind of person who has all the tech stuff. And you got to have the newest tech stuff as soon as it comes out because you got to have better tech than your person at work. You got to have the faster computer. You got to have the better phone. You got to have an iPhone. You got to have different things because you like a challenge. You're competitive. You can't pull into a parking lot and there's a parking space right in front of you, but if there's one somebody else is going for, come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. There's one that's closer to the front and someone else is halfway there, and you look and say, I think I can beat them to that spot. Even though there's one right next to you where you're at. There's something about our competitive nature. We try to pull in and get that spot because when we get it, like, yes, still got it, you know. You pull up to a stop sign and some teenager pulls up next to you about 16 to 17 years old and thinks they're going to pass you on the side of the road. And the lane turns into one lane. And you're in the turning lane, you know what I'm talking about, when it has two lanes and you see ahead, it's just going to turn into one lane. What do? Do you slow down so he can very safely pass you? No. There's no 17-year-old teenage boy going to beat me. I'm going to show this kid how to run this car. And you take that V6 and, man, you drop it down as low as you can get and you push. You don't like to lose. As men, we don't like to lose. We can't pass by a checkerboard and we want to play someone in the checkers. I remember when I was a kid, my parents used to go to a nursing home ministry, and I would go with them and I would play checkers with these older men and these senior citizens at the table. And man, they did not like to lose. I mean, these guys, 75, 85 years old, and if I beat them in checkers, I mean, they would pound that table and they would get hot and steamy and they'd go back, oh, I'm just kidding anyway, you know. I mean, we never lose that competitive nature. There's something about a man who likes to be challenged. Oh, pastor, that's not me. Oh, watch yourself in Walmart. Come on. Three people walking to the front with three baskets full of food. What are you going to do? You're looking for the shortest line. And you'll do anything it takes to beat the other two people there to that spot. You'll pull them over and you'll race through there. You'll cut through another aisle and run up and jump in the back way. Why? Because we're competitive. We like a challenge. All men like a challenge. It's just who we are. And you never outgrow it. I mean, even when I'm sick and even when I don't feel like it, if my kids come to me, my boys come to me, or any of my kids come to me and begin to try to challenge me, I'll be like, you know, Dad's not feeling good today. Just leave me alone. And they'll say something like, what's the matter? You getting too old? It's a miracle. All of a sudden, God's glory comes down and I'm healed for at least 10 minutes. Now I jump up. Who are you calling old? Let's go. You know, and I don't take it easy on them. When we race, we play baseball, we play football, we play basketball, we play PlayStation. If we play checkers, it'll make a difference what we're playing. I don't let them win. I want to beat them. Because you know why? There's going to come a time they're going to beat me. And so I'm going to get everything I can now because I'm competitive. I like a challenge. It's just a man. It's the way we are. We like a challenge. We like a challenge. And I believe today that there's some men in this house today. There's some men at Destiny Church who are looking to be challenged. You're looking to be challenged. And you're wanting someone to step up and to challenge you. And today, you're in the right spot because as your pastor, I'm going to challenge you. And the question for you, will you accept the challenge? Will you accept the challenge? You know, we see through Scripture where many men in the Bible accepted challenges. We see in Scripture where many men, I like Joshua. It was Joshua who liked the challenge. You know, we can find Joshua when the people of God were trying to turn. And when Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, they were down there. Let's make this golden image here, the calf, and worship this God and turn our back upon God. Who was it down there saying, come on, let's do it? Joshua was down there ready to fight, man. He was down there fighting the people, saying, listen, you're crazy. Don't turn your back upon God. He had a challenge. He stepped up to the challenge. Anytime anybody stood up and was challenging his God, he would stand up and ready to fight. Matter of fact, one time in Scripture we see where the angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua. What did Joshua do? He said, are you for me or are you against me? He's like, don't you come in my kitchen without baking me a cake. I'm going to take you right here. He was ready. Joshua was ready to fight the angel of the Lord. Of course, God knocked him down a few notches and said, listen, boy, you don't know who you're messing with. This is the angel, the Lord of the hosts, man. And we see where, but Joshua had this fighting nature where he was ready. He was always ready to accept the challenge. We see through Scripture, many men were ready to accept the challenge. And today I believe there's some men at Destiny Church who are needing to be challenged. And some men who need to accept the challenge in their life. As Father's Day today, we think about, you know, there's a lot of wives in here who are thinking, man, I want to help my husband be the man of God that God's called him to be. As a matter of fact, in Scripture, we see where the wife is called to be what? A helpmate. She's called to be a support, a helpmate to her husband. But guys, let me tell you this. Can I just be honest with you? It's very hard to help somebody who's not going nowhere. I told you it's not going to be easy today. It's very hard for our wives who are trying to be spiritual leaders of their home when that's not their place to be the spiritual covering of the home. They're trying to be spiritual leaders and they're wanting to support their husband to be the spiritual leader that God has called him to be, but the husband's not going anywhere. He's not doing anything. Oh, she's called to be my helpmate, bless God. Woman, know your place with Scripture. Well, men, know your place. We're called to be leaders in our families and in our homes. And when we do that, our wives and our children will follow. We need some men to stop being mama's boys and stand up and take a challenge. Let me say it again. We need some men to stop being mama's boys and to step up and take a challenge. See, it's one thing to need encouragement, but it's another thing to need a bottle and a diaper. It's deep today, isn't it? This is fun. It's one thing to need encouragement, but it's another thing to need a bottle and a diaper. Men, I am challenging you today. I'm challenging myself first, and I'm putting the challenge out to you as well, that we need some men who are willing to step up and say, God, I am ready to lead my home in the place you've called me to lead. I am ready to step up and begin to take some steps necessary to be the father you've called me to be the husband you've called me to be the Christian you've called me to be the neighbor you've called me to be the employer you've called me to be the friend you've called me to be the son you've called me to be. I am ready to step up and take the challenge. We got far too many men that are too passive. Matter of fact, you show me a passive man, and I'll show you a man who's been violated somewhere in their life. Because, listen, it is our God-given nature to accept a challenge. That's why men are aggressive. That's why God put that testosterone in our body. There's something there that makes us want to step up and be a man and to lead, to take on a challenge. God has naturally put that into our DNA of who we are because he wants you to lead your family. He wants you to lead your wife. He wants you to lead your children. He has put that in us. We find it in the very first of the scriptures. This God-given nature to what? To want to conquer. In the garden, what did he tell Adam? He said, I've given you dominion over this earth. I mean, in the DNA of who we are, God created men to have dominion, to be people of leadership, of power, who would accept the challenge and lead. I want to read you a story today in 1 Samuel. We're going to use this as our text, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, we find David. And here's David and his men. He's got his men of mighty valor. They're with the men. These guys are a group of guys that nobody else wanted. And he took them and created this army, about 600 guys that were with them. And they are attacking the city to the north, as God has directed. And they returned back home while they were gone. The Amalekites came, and what did they do? They took their women, their children, and all their possessions. While the men were gone to war, doing what God had asked them to do, the enemy came from the south and took everything they owned. And they came back to the city. And the word of God says, when they came back to the city, they seen this right here. They seen all their women, all their children gone. They had been stolen, taken from them. The word of God said they were very distressed. The men began to rip in their clothes and crying out to God, like, God, why did this happen? Let's pick it up in verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 30. It says, then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. Here's a challenge that God's given David right here. David steps up to God, my family's gone, my possessions are gone, my children are gone, my wife's are gone. What do I do? And God steps up and says, David, I want you to pursue them. I want you to go after them. And when you do it, I'm going to give them back to you. God gave David a challenge. And see, there was something about David's nature as we look at David. See, if you look at David's life, you could very easily mistake him for a softy, okay? If you look at David's life, I mean, you find David on the side of the hill writing poetry, playing his harp, singing love songs to the Lord. I mean, you know, if a person was just looking from the outside, you might think David was a little soft. Other times we find where David was talking to Jonathan, you know, and he's crying in Jonathan's arms, you know, talking about the friendship they have and the covenant they had. I mean, real manly things there, you know. You know, we do that today. We're like, oh, no, something in my eye. You know, not David, man. He was crying in Jonathan's arms. They were talking about the covenant of friendship that God had given him. On the outside, you look at David and you would think David as a person who was in touch with the softer side, let's save that. But don't get me wrong today. When David was a man that if you made him mad, he could go out and kill 100 Philistines and take their foreskins and cut them off and bring them to the king and throw them like rings at his feet. I mean, you're talking about a man who could do something. Don't mess with David. Don't mess with David. This man was a bad man. He knew how to accept the challenge, and God challenged David. And we see in David's nature that very early on, that even though he was soft in his nature, he was in touch. And what I find about David is this, man, that David was a man's man. I mean, you could never find a more man's man than David. Matter of fact, today, if you study in history books, they will tell you that strategic people in war, that they have studied patterns that David started in the Bible. Matter of fact, some strategic things we use in war when it comes to attack and defense patterns were started by David in the Bible. So David was a man's man. He knew about war. He knew about taking challenges. David knew about accepting a challenge. But he was also not afraid, and he was confident in who his God was. He was confident in who his God was and who he was in his God. He was not afraid to show a soft side. He was not afraid to show all sides of his life. He was not afraid to write poetry and to worship his Lord. He wasn't afraid to get out in the street and to dance before the Lord, abandon himself before the Lord. He wasn't afraid. Not only was he a man of war who would accept a challenge to anybody who tried to fight the Lord, but man, he could also be a person out there writing poetry. I mean, he was a man's man. We see David here. He was already, even as a boy, ready to accept challenges. Even as a boy, by the time he got ready to face Goliath, the giant, he had a resume of dead carcasses waiting for him. I mean, even as a boy, he had already accepted some challenges in his life, and he knew that even though I got to face Goliath, this big giant here, you know what? I've already killed the lion, and I've already killed the bear. So bring on this giant. He was ready to accept the challenge. When the other man ran and hid, when Goliath would come out, they said they would run and hide in terror. Here's this little boy, teenage young boy, stepping up and saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine want to come here and defy the army of God? And who is this man? I ain't scared of him. Why not? Because David had already accepted challenges as a boy. David had already experienced victory in his youth. And I wonder how many of those men who were running and hiding had ever experienced victory in their life. Just a question. I wonder if some of them have killed some lions and bears with their hands. If they had not been, hey, come on, bring on Goliath. David, sit back. I'll take care of this one. But David was the only one there with a resume that had killed. And so, man, he was ready. He's like, bring him on. Bring him on. All I have is a rag and a stone. But God used it. Let me tell you this. But when you take what you have, it may be a rag, it may be a stone, it may not seem like much, but when you develop what God has given you, God takes that thing and he uses it for his glory. We got too many men that are not using what God's already given them. We got too many men with rags and stones right now. We got too many men with talents and treasures, with ability to lead, to be spiritual leaders of their home and of the church and of a community, who are sitting back and being passive. And every time a giant pokes his head out, we run and hide in our tent. Woo. Hey, Pastor Gene, why don't you take care of that one? I got your back. Oh, we're real mighty men, aren't we? Bring on the checkerboard and the basketball and the football. We're out there. But let a giant poke his head up, and what happens? Woo, woo, woo. Honey, tell him I'm not home. David had a resume of victory. David had a resume of victory. He was ready to accept the challenge. He had practiced victory. Let me say this today. That's what's wrong with some of our children today. We have not allowed our children to experience victory at a young age. Listen, Mama. Listen, Dad. We don't need to win every fight for our kids. Let me say it again. We don't need to win every fight for our kids. We need to let them experience victory for themselves. Yeah, we need to protect our children. Yes, we need to be right there watching what's going on. Yes, we need to be overseeing them. I'm not telling them to go out and punch anybody in the nose. Listen, that's what I'm talking about, this, though. You can't always be the one who solves their problem. You can't always be the one who helps them get the victory. You got to let them experience it for themselves, because there's going to come a time when they're going to need to face a giant in their life. There's going to come a time when that giant's going to poke his head up, and they're going to go, Mama! Daddy! And you're not going to be around. But if you want your kids to stand up when a giant faces his head, and he said, listen, if God is for me, who can be against me? My God will deliver you into my hands. If you want your kids to have that kind of faith, then you got to allow our children to experience victory even now. Build confidence in them now. Let them have that confidence of victory even now at a young age. Look for ways our children can work out their problems themselves and help them work it out and overcome things in their life. We don't need to rescue them from every little thing. David was used to winning, and the Bible calls this mighty man of valor. That's what he called him, a mighty man of valor. He was a man who was used to winning. He was a man who was used to accepting the challenge and stepping forth and winning. A mighty man of valor doesn't mean you don't always get it right, but it means when things go wrong, you don't go running home to Mama. You stay there and you work it out and you fix the problem. It means a mighty man of valor means what? It means he takes a licking and keeps on ticking. He may get knocked down, but he's going to get right back up, knowing who gives him the strength and who gives him the victory. Ladies, if you have one of these men in your home, if you have a father who's a man, a mighty man of value, who's not afraid to stay and work things out, who's not afraid to stay and take a challenge and to say, listen, I'm not going to allow my home to be overrun. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come and steal from me. You've got a mighty man of value. Listen, you cherish that man. They're hard to come by. They're not easy to come by these days. If you have a father like that, if you have a husband like that, you cherish that man. He's a man of value. Nurture him. Let him know how much you love him. Let me say this to you guys, but sooner or later, men, we will run into something you cannot lick. Men, sooner or later, we're going to run into something we cannot lick. Because when we're young and we like a challenge, what happens? We think there's nothing that comes along that we can't beat. If something comes along, I'll just grind my nose to it, I'll take it on, and I'll challenge, and I'll beat it. But sooner or later, you'll come a point in your life when you face something that you can't beat on your own. A pastor, if you do right, you pay your tithes, you go to church, got your family in church, nothing bad's going to happen to you. Let me tell you about the real world, okay? Things are going to happen. Trials are going to happen. Tribulation is going to happen, man. Problems are going to come along. Family is going to desert you. People are going to speak evil of you. People are going to stab you in the back. People are going to talk about you. People are going to do a lot of things to you. And it's at that time when you can't do a thing about it that God becomes the most powerful in your life if you'll let him. Look what David did here. His men, they had been winning wars. I mean, he had never faced this. And he comes back and all of his family, all of his men's family, all his possessions are gone. They ripped their clothes. They were like, what do we do now? We've never faced defeat before. We've never lost anything. And now we've lost it all. Matter of fact, his men even said, let's stone David. He's the one that took us out the battle. We didn't stay here to protect our children. I mean, you're talking about being on the hot seat. His men are ready to turn on him. His family's gone. His wealth's gone. Saul's still after him. I mean, the world is crashing down on this mighty warrior. And what's he do? He goes to God. And he says, God, should I chase after these band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. Listen, guys, you can, I believe this in my heart. You cannot effectively worship the Lord until you know what it means to have some things you can't fix on your own. And the only way that you can get help is through God. When you realize that I am not in control of my life, when I realize that I can't be in control of everything, and the only way I'm going to make it through this problem, the only way I'm going to make it out of this way is only if God touches me, if God leads me, if God empowers me. The only way I'm going to see myself through this problem, the only way I'm going to see myself through this trial, the only way I'm going to see myself through this problem is if God leads me. And that's a great place to be, because it's a place where God will mold us, he will break us, and he will develop us, he will strengthen us. And if you'll allow him and you'll accept the challenge, God will build your faith like he never has before. God will raise you up to be a man of power. God will raise you up out of the ashes to be a man of influence. For many times, when that thing happens in our life, men, we run. That giant pulls his head out. We run, and we hide in our tent. We come home, and our family, our wife's gone. We've neglected our relationship with our wife for years. We've been so busy working, our children don't know who we are. And we come home, oh yeah, we've established a wealth. We've established something, but we've lost our family. We've lost our relationship with our spouse. We've lost our relationship with our kids. And nothing you can do on your own can replace that. And that giant pulls his head out. You want to run to your tent and say, God, where did I go wrong? I was doing it all for them. And see, ladies, that's where you misunderstand a lot of things. What you've seen as neglect, we've seen as we were doing it for you. We were doing it for you. It may not have been right, but we were doing it for you. We were working for you. We were trying to provide for you. We wanted to give you good things and nice things, but along the way we make mistakes and we find ourselves one day waking up and our relationship has been strained and it's not there. The romance is left. The kids who used to hang on our leg and want to ride with you everywhere you went now doesn't want to even put you in the top five on their phone. I don't even want to talk to you. Where did we go wrong? And the only way you'll get out of that is when you give your life totally to God and say, God, I've blown it. God, I need you. I need you. And you go to God and you fall on your face and you say, God, what do I do? God, what am I going to do? And here's the challenge of the Lord, as he said to David. He said, chase after this band of raiders. You will catch them. And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. Fathers, today, you've lost your children, you feel like giving up. You lost relationship with your wife, and you feel like giving up. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Hear the challenge of the Lord this morning. Go after them. Pursue them, and allow God to restore and bring them back to you. God, if you will humble yourself and say, God, I cannot do this on my own, but God, I can only do this when you work through me. God will bring back to you your family. God will bring back and restore those relationships that have been broken. See, men, today, when kids have a problem, where do they go? They go to mama, don't they? When mama has a problem, where do they go? They go to daddy. When daddy has a problem, where do we go? We don't go anywhere. We keep it in. Guys, we're the best about just keeping it inside. Because if I can be truthful to you today, ladies, can I just tell you this? There's a lot of times we want to be the one to come home and say, I've had it. There's a lot of times we want to come home and say, I'm losing it. There's a lot of times we want to come home and say, I can't take this no longer. There's a lot of times we want to come home and just cry all day for no reason. But because we're called to be Superman, we don't do that, and we just keep it buried inside. We keep it buried inside there. Because everybody expects us to be a hero. Our children, our wives, they want us to be the hero. They want it look to us to fix everything. Everybody loves a hero, don't they? Everybody loves us as long as we are Superman. But the moment they find out we're really Clark Kent, things just don't go as well. We feel like we've fallen a few notches in our eyes. That's the mentality we have, ladies. I'm just being honest with you and telling you. Guys, we have a hard time being honest, don't we? We have a hard time expressing our emotions when we're hurting too, when we're losing it too. We bottle up inside and it all gets there, and then pretty soon we've gotten all this inside of us and we haven't expressed it and let it out, and we haven't had a place to do that because we feel like we have no one to turn to. And today, men, God's saying, you come to me. All you who are heavy and weary, cast your cares upon me and I'll care for you. I'll carry those things for you. Guys, we got to express that. We got to get that out to the Lord. And when we do that, that causes us to be effective worshipers. It causes us to humble ourselves before the Lord. David and his men went out to do battle. But when they had gone, the enemy had come in and stole everything from them. Little side note here, that when you attach yourself to a man, a woman of God, you inherit their enemies also. Just a little side note for you. These men attached themselves to David, and because they attached themselves to David, they suffered great loss. Let me tell you this, there was a lot of guys who wanted to reign with David. When David finally made it to king, when David finally got to the palace, there was guys beating down his door. Hey, David! Can I have a position? David, I want a place in your cabinet. David, can I have a place in your army? David, can I be a captain? David, can I be in charge of this? David, hey, buddy, you remember me? There's a lot of guys that want to reign with you, but there's not very many who want to suffer with you. Just a little side note, didn't cost you anything for that. These men had lost everything. These men had lost everything. It was taken from them. What did David do? Word of God says that David did what? Let me tell you what David did. First of all, he came in and he got mad. He rips his clothes before the Lord. You're talking about being angry. You're talking about saying, God, I'm out here doing your battle. This is what's happening. You're talking about a man who was angry, upset, crying, distress. And he goes to the Lord. He humbles and says, God, what do I do? And God says, I want you to pursue him. I'm going to give him back to you. And David in his discouragement, David in his anger, David in his disappointment, David, the person who's getting ready to be stoned by his men, but thinking about overthrowing him here as the captain. What's David do? Word of God says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's easy to do, isn't it? When everything's going wrong in your life, you can't get a pat on the back from your wife. I mean, when you're growing up, what happens? It's mama, it's okay, honey. You just get right back out there and they wipe the snot off your nose, scrape off your knee. You get back out there and you show them who you really are. It's okay. And we like that, don't we, guys? It makes us feel better. And when we get older, we like it when our wife still says, it's okay, honey. You're doing a good job. Wives don't ever stop doing that. We still need you to do that for us. Encouraging us, patting us on the back, saying it's okay. But what happens when none of that's there? What happens when no children are coming and grabbing you and saying, I love you? What happens when your wife's gone? What happens when everything you work for is gone in an instant? What happens when all the people that you thought you had led turn on you and now want to kill you? David encouraged himself in the Lord. And let me tell you guys, there's going to come a time in your life when nobody can encourage you but yourself. There's going to come a time in your life when you got to get up and pull your boots on yourself, put your pants on yourself, put them up there and put your jacket on and say, all right, Lord, it's just you and me. I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. God, there's no one else here. There's no one else that's going to help me. I'm going to pick my own self up here, and I'm going to begin to encourage myself for the Lord. I'm going to begin to say, God, it's in you that I move and I trust. God, it's in you that I have my power. God, it's in you that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. God, it's in you. See, David began to encourage himself in the Lord. Men, let me tell you, there's going to come a time in your life, if you haven't already faced it, where you're going to have to step up and say, God, it's just you and me. I've got to learn to encourage myself in the Lord. And there's something that happens in your spirit when you do that. I've been in a place where I've been on the face before God and said, God, it's just you and me. Where are we going, God? God, I'm not going to allow this thing to overtake me. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come and destroy my life. I'm not going to allow this thing. And I've had to fight my way out of that, me and the Lord. And I did that by what? By encouraging myself in the Lord. I just wrap my arms around myself and give myself a hug. You know, I got to learn to encourage myself in the Lord. Men, we got to learn what it means to stand up and be men. And if no one's going to give it to you, you take it. You take the encouragement. You give it to yourself. David was not afraid to take the challenge. David learned how to encourage himself in the Lord. And look what happens here at the end of the story in 1 Samuel 30, verses 18 and 19. So David takes his men, and they take off after these guys. And when he got there, it says this, David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought back everything. Man, when you get it and accept the challenge of the Lord, when you stand up and say, God, I've lost my relationship with my wife. It's not the way it used to be. My children. I feel like I've lost my relationship with my children. It's not like it used to be. When you stand up and say, God, what do you want me to do? And God, this morning, listen, this is what he's saying to you guys. He's saying this, pursue. Men, he's saying, pursue. Some of you today are asking that question, God, what do? I know I'm right there. Pastor, I feel like I'm right there. God's saying to you, pursue. I know, but they don't want to have anything to do with me. God says, pursue. Pursue who? Pursue first the kingdom of God. And after that, you go after your family. I believe every man here today is wanting a challenge. And as I've been praying about a challenge, I believe today is time for the men of Destiny Church to accept the challenge. I've been praying, saying, God, where are we going with our men's ministry? God, where are you leading us? What do you want me to do? And God dropped this right into my heart, spoke it very clear. He says, I want you to stand up and I want you to challenge the men of Destiny Church. I want you to give them a challenge. I said, God, well, how do you want me to challenge them? And he gave me a 12-week challenge that I'm going to put to every man in this church today. I'm going to challenge every man in Destiny Church to accept a 12-week challenge from your pastor. And I'm calling this thing Body for God. Body for God. And as you see right here, it says, wimps need not apply. Can't get any clearer than that. If you're a wimp today, this is not for you, okay? Oh, Pastor, I'm not discriminating. No, I'm just telling you right off the front. If you're spiritually a wimp today, this is not for you. This is for guys who are saying, you know what, Pastor? I'm ready to accept the challenge. I'm ready to stand up. I'm ready to lead and be the man that God's called me to be in my home. I'm ready to stand up and be the Christian God's called me to be. I'm ready to stand up and be the leader God's called me to lead in my church, in my community. God is asking today, is there any man who wants to accept the challenge? What's the challenge? I better tell you that before you accept it. Isn't that a good thing? The first challenge is this, the first part of it, spiritual growth. For 12 weeks, I'm going to ask the men who accept the challenge, I'm going to ask you to journal 3 times a week. What is a journal? In your packet. If you do this, you'll come and you'll receive a packet just like this. It'll be full of things. It'll be full of things that what we're going to be doing. And the very first cover you'll have a journal just like this. This journal is a reading plan for the scriptures. And I'm going to ask you to choose 3 days during your week that you'll open it up and you'll read the scriptures that are on that day. And in that scripture, you'll pick out one verse that really meant something to you. Write it out. And when you write that verse out, just say, God, This is what I got from it right here. This is the application I got from the scripture. Then you can write out a prayer. God, help me to apply what you've spoken to my heart. 3 times a week, I'm asking you to spend 10 to 15 minutes doing a journal, spending God's time in God's word. What else? I'm going to ask you to do this. Attend a men's group meeting on Wednesday nights starting July the 11th. Like right? July the 11th. We'll be starting our men's and women's ministries going on here on Wednesday nights. And I'm going to ask every man who wants to accept the challenge to meet me here at Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We're going to meet together. What we're going to do is we're going to come together. All the men are going to come together. We're going to be talking about relative issues for men and going over things. In our first part, the second part, we'll break up into small groups. And in the second part, I'm going to ask you to bring your journal with you. And you're going to share one thing that you wrote down that week. We're going to go around the circle, and these guys are breaking into small groups. They're going to share, hey, this is scripture that stood out to me this week, and this is what God spoke to me. And we're going to pray together, and we're going to hear each other. We're going to encourage each other. That's going to happen on Wednesday nights. We're also going to be learning to give God control of my life. Over the next 12 weeks, you're going to learn just to begin to experience faith and say, God, I'm learning to give up control to you. I'm learning to give up total control of my life to you. I'm giving everything I am. You've heard me talk about that the last few weeks, about giving up control. Over this next 12 weeks, when you take this challenge, you're going to see guys are going to come and say, God, I'm just going to give you control of my life. For 12 weeks, I'm asking you to do this. What's the second part of this challenge? It's a physical challenge, physical growth. I'm going to ask you to develop a weekly exercise program. We'll help you do this. We'll bring in some experts and people who know what they're doing. We'll help you develop a weekly exercise program. For some guys, that may include weights. For some guys, it may include running. Some guys, it may just be some walking. Every guy's going to be different, but we'll give you several plans you can choose. I'm going to ask you to develop a weekly exercise program. I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to set some weight loss goals. And I know not everybody needs that. Very few of us probably need that, right? I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be the first one setting my goals. Matter of fact, the first night we come together, we're going to have a scale back there in the corner, not in front of everybody. We're going to put a scale back there in a little table. We're going to allow you to weigh in and allow you to fill in your weight and set your first month's goal of weight loss right there, okay? And then we're going to help you develop a plan of weight loss. And then also the third thing is establishing a healthy eating plan. How many know that Scripture says what? Our bodies are what? Our bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And some of our temples are growing, aren't they? Listen, obesity is one of the biggest problems in kids today. Where are they learning it from? Mom and dad. Now listen, I'm not calling everyone else to be supermodels here, okay? That's not going to happen. I'm not looking for you to come in and be Mr. Atlas next week. Well, most of you, not Mr. Atlas, you know, but I'm not calling you to be, you know, this bodybuilder or anything like that. I'm just talking about us beginning to get back in perspective. Let's take control of our homes, both spiritually and physically. Let's begin to go back and get right. Let's begin to establish a right eating pattern so our children are not eating so much junk, so many things, and when they get older, they have health problems and health issues because we fed them this stuff all our life. So we're going to talk about a proper diet plan and helping you establish that, and you'll pick your own plan, and you'll develop that, and we'll help you do that. Daily exercise and establishing a healthy plan. Listen, if dad's getting into shape, if dad's eating right, who else is going to eat right? Mom. If mom's eating right, who else is going to eat right? The kids. See, it's a chain reaction. If dad's doing his journal, he's reading the Word of God. If dad's praying, if dad's coming to a small group, what's mom going to do? She's going to want to journal. She's going to want to read. She's going to want to pray. She's going to want to be involved in a small group. If mom and dad are doing it, the kids are going to want to, hey, there's something different going on in our home. Mom, dad, what's happening here? They're going to understand. You're leading by example. This is how a man of God lives his life. He meditates upon the Word of the Lord. He spends time praying to God. He gives God control of his life, of his household. See the chain reaction, men, that we have. And then the third thing is a relational challenge. Relational growth. I'm going to ask every guy who signs up for the challenge to spend quality time with your wife. That's going to be different. But what I'm asking every man is to do this. If you have children in your home, then you must have a date night with your wife at least once every other week. If your children are grown and out of your home, you got to have a date night with your wife every week. How many wives think that's a good idea? You like that idea? Look at you. Yes, a date? I haven't done that in 20 years. Say, Pastor, why do you want me to do a date for? We can stay at home and not spend any money right here. Get to know each other. No, we're going to break you out of your routine. We want to help you kindle romance again. Oh, I'm not a romantic guy. Oh, yes, you were. When you were 16, 17, 18, only had one thing on your mind, you were so romantic. I'm just telling you like it is. You know what I'm talking about, guys. We're going to help you light that fire again, okay? I want our wives and our husbands during this process, they're growing spiritually as they're growing physically. I want them emotionally to begin to rekindle that again in their life. I want our kids to look at mom and dad and say, man, they're in love. What a great testimony. What a great thing of faith that our kids look at us and see that we're in love with our spouse. You do more for that confidence of that kid when they know that mom and dad love each other. It gives such a security blanket to those children. It gives such a thing of peace in that home. So guys, I'm going to ask you to just, hey, I told you this is not for the weak. This is not for the wimps. If you have children, I'm going to ask you to spend quality time with your children. I'm going to ask you to schedule it out. Put it on your daily schedule. We'll have a 12-week program, and you're going to pick days. This is where I'm going to spend quality time with my kids. Well, Pastor, I spend quality time with my kids right now. Every commercial break, we talk about what's going on in their life. We watched that show the other day together, and we like that show together. I'm talking about spending some quality time other than TV, okay? Getting out, playing ball with the kids in the yard. Going out, taking your kid to shopping. Or going out, taking for a snow cone, summertime. Going out and getting ice cream together. Just spending some quality time with your children. Dads, we're so busy, and if it's not careful, we're getting this routine of, let's get home, let's help mom with the dishes, do this and that, blah, 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 and then kids are in bed, and all right, now it's my time. And our kids haven't had any peace of us. Dad, you realize you're the most influential person in their life as a children's father? Statistics tell us when a father is active in bringing a kid to church, that they go up 3 times, 4 times, even 5 times higher than if that parent comes alone with just a mom. I mean, statistics are just off the roof when it comes to parents who a father brings into church. And when a father spends time with the daughter, what happens? She gets security in him. My daughter doesn't have to find security in any other boy. She knows she's got security in her dad. And when she gets ready to choose that man that she's going to have security in, he's going to have big shoes to fill because her dad's going to already fill those shoes, okay? She's going to have a big role model to try to say, hey, he ain't as good as my daddy. He ain't good enough for me. Isn't that right, honey? That's right. Yeah, okay. Spending time with our kids. Spend time with our kids. Spend time with our daughters. Dad, don't just spend all your time with your sons. Spend time with your daughters. And we're also going to develop supporting friendships to help me grow. Developing supporting friendships to help me grow. Every man who accepts the challenge, this is what's going to happen. You're going to come on Wednesday nights if you can make it. I know some of you have work schedules. You may not be able to make it every Wednesday night. Maybe hit and miss for you. But what's going to happen? Every guy who signs up for the 12-week challenge, you're going to be partnered with another guy. We're going to team you up so you'll have not only support of the men's group on Wednesday nights, but during the week, you're calling each other and saying, hey, have you exercised today? Hey, what'd you eat today? Hey, have you done your journal this week? Hey, when's your date night? Hey, I'll babysit your kids. Hey, I'll babysit your kids for you. They take turns. All this stuff that goes on that you may do things for each other, supporting each other. Like I talked about earlier, guys, we're Superman. We don't have anybody to go to, do we? That's what we feel like in our life. And we want to come home and fall apart. I feel like we have anybody we can talk to. So we want to help that. We want to help develop another man who will come along beside you. I hope you guys can build a relationship supporting each other through this process. I'm calling it the body for God. The body for God. Listen, guys. It's time for us to stand up spiritually, begin to lead our home the way God has intended. Guys, it's time for us to stand up and to love our wives the way God's called us to love our wives. Guys, it's time for us to stand up and love our children the way God has called us to love our children. Guys, it's time for us to stand up and to eat right and to exercise and not let our temples go and set a good example for our children. If our dad will do it, who's going to follow? Mom is. If dad will do it, who's going to follow? The children will. You want to change a church? You want to change a community? You want to change a family? Change a father. So guys, today, as musicians come this morning, in closing, I'm simply asking you man to man. This is not for the wimps. It's for guys to say, you know what, Pastor? I'm ready to take a challenge. Pastor, I'm ready to take a challenge. Maybe you're here today and you're a man and say, I don't have a wife. Come on up. I don't have a wife and I don't have kids. Is this for me? This is for every man, okay? This is for every man. Now, some of you may not have a wife or children yet. But we still need physical growth and we still need spiritual growth in our life. You still need to develop other friends and other guys that are going to help make you better. So this is for everyone, okay? This is for every man. The question I'm asking you is this. Are you going to accept the challenge? Are you going to accept the challenge? Wow, Pastor, I don't know. I've never really read my Bible 3 times a week. What if I mess up? Then you come to your group and say, hey, guys, I'm blowing it. Help me. Support me. It's not about getting perfect guys. It's about guys getting together and saying, listen, let's begin to lead the way God has called us to lead. Joshua, a man who liked the challenge, he stood before his people and said, listen to this. He goes, I don't care what you want to do. He goes, you can do what you want. You can serve the gods of what you want to serve. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua led that. I'm going to ask you this here today. Men, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I want to accept the challenge. I want to accept the 12-week challenge, the Body for God challenge. I want to get back into shape spiritually, physically, relationally, emotionally. I want to get back into shape where God has called me to be. If that's you, I want you to stand up right now, guys, because that's me. I want to accept the challenge. Come on down, guys. Join me in the front here. Ladies, what do you think about this, man? We've got some men ready to accept the challenge. Fred, you ready? You ready? Steve? Dave? Mike? You ready? Ready, Terry? Guys, I'm ready. I want to rip this shirt off right now and let's go running. I'm ready. I'll save you guys the embarrassment, okay? I'm ready, guys. I believe God is calling us to step up. I believe he's calling the men to step up. I've just been praying God would raise some men up that were not afraid and say, I want to accept the challenge. I want to accept the challenge. I'm going to pray for you guys today. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about this more, and we'll have some sign-up sheets and have a place for you to sign up. But guys, I'm so excited. At the end of this 12 weeks, we're going to look back and we're going to hear testimony come forth. I just can't wait to hear the individual testimony of what God's going to do through this spiritually, relationally. It's time. As your pastor, I know I've been kind of in your face today. That's because I love you. Okay? It's because I love you. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. Just don't feel like I'm pointing the fingers at nobody. I'm preaching this message to myself first and foremost. Challenging myself just like I'm challenging you today. It's time for us to pursue. It's time for us to pursue our families, our children, our wife. But most of all, our Lord. It's time to pursue and allow God to get back to us what he's called us to do. So guys, I'm going to pray for you right now. And I want you just, these men in the front, can you just raise your hands where you're at to God? Say, God, I surrender my life to you today. God, these guys are lifting their hands up right now, saying they're going to accept the challenge. Father, I pray right now. God, through your Holy Spirit today, God, every man who's raising their hands, that God, you will see a man who's not afraid to stand up. He's not afraid, God, to say, I'm ready to pursue again. I'm not afraid to pursue. Lord, I just pray that, Father, right now, that a spiritual boldness, God, as these guys walk down to the front today and say they're ready to take a challenge, physically, spiritually, emotionally. God, I pray that, God, you would help them, Lord, step up and be the man of God you've called them to be. That, God, we'll quit making excuses. We'll quit being spiritual wimps. But, God, we'll stand up and be the man of God in our house, in our family, with our children, on our job. And, Father, we line up according to your word. And, Father, as we line up, God, our wives and our children will follow. And, Father, I pray for emotional, spiritual, relational health. We begin to return to these guys, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, may you raise up some mighty men of valor who are not afraid to accept the challenge of the Lord and say, yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, develop me. Yes, Lord, take me to a new level in you. Yes, Lord, help me to lead my family to a greater level in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for these men who are not ashamed. I thank you for these men who are accepting the challenge this morning, God. I'm excited about the testimony that's going to come from their life. And Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God, this is a start of something new in the men of Destiny Church. Lord, I thank you for the men who are saying yes today. And give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give God a praise. Yes. Guys, I'll be talking about this over the next few weeks, more about this book, and it's going to be a good thing in here. It's going to have all kinds of things in here. We'll go over this as we get closer to what's going to happen. We're going to develop this, and it's going to be, I'm excited about doing this. I'm excited about the growth in your life. I like a challenge. I know you like a challenge also. You wouldn't be up here. But God's speaking to you, challenging you. You can go back to your seats. I appreciate you being honest today, accepting that. For the guys who didn't come back up here, I'm praying the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you all week long and you can't sleep. No. Some of you are saying, Pastor, I'm not in good enough health. I can't exercise. I'm not asking you to go out and do anything you can't do. I'm just asking you to get to moving again, okay? Getting your diet proper. Flexing your spiritual muscles. There's not a man here that can't do that if they don't want to. Oh, you can do anything you want to do. You can do anything you want to do when you're ready to do it. Now, over the next few weeks, I'm going to have a sign-up sheet. Maybe some of you guys didn't come down today because you don't know if you can do it or not. Maybe you were afraid to come down, afraid I was going to do something to you. You didn't want to sign up for anything. You didn't know what's going to happen. Like I would do that to you, you know. But we'll have those sign-up sheets there, and I'm going to encourage you to come and sign up. Some of you guys, maybe you can't be here on Wednesday nights, but you want to be a part of that. Listen, we'll help you on that, okay? We'll work with you. We'll help maybe get another support team that can meet some other time, or put you with another guy who can't be here all the time. You guys are talking on the phone, encouraging each other, okay? Don't let that stop you just because you can't be here on Wednesday nights. I'm thankful for you and your family. I know it's Father's Day. Thank you for staying with us today and being here and worshiping the house of God. I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's going to do. This is one of these moments when we look back a year from now, 2 years from now, we'll say, wow, God started something right there this time. God started something in some men this time. I'm telling you guys, when we stand up, begin to pursue once again, go after the things that God's called us to go after, things are going to change in our family. Things are going to change in your life. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be your pastor. I'm going to do it right there with you. I'm going to be right there with you. We're going to have a great time. We're going to grow together in relationship. We're going to grow in the Spirit of the Lord. It's going to be one of the best things we've ever done in our life. I'm so excited to take the challenge with you. I stand today. God bless you. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. Go with God's grace. Tell somebody it's been a great day. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.